Production. Recorded live.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I'm calling from the beautiful city of Austin, Texas, on the 23rd of May. The views and opinions expressed on this program may not necessarily reflect the owners of this company. However, they probably will. Now, so I'm sorry, I'm just in a mood today, guys. First question. Let me read this. A little background. After having my kids, I insisted on us going to church. The entire time we went, my husband grumbled about what a hassle it was. Flash forward 5 years, I became pregnant again, became extremely ill, and couldn't attend church. 1 month after having the baby, I became deathly ill and faced several months of recovery. At the tail end of recovery, my husband's affair came to light, and we haven't been to church since. Since I first became pregnant, it's over 2.5 years. I let the Lord into my heart a long time ago, but since my husband's affair has come to light, I have felt distance from the Lord and have been missing that. My husband knows this. My husband also knows that I want the Lord to be the center of this family and the center of my heart and the center of our kids' heart. So this whole thing, he's consistently been told by everyone that he has to let God into his heart in order to fix this. He's fought it every step of the way, insisting there has to be a different way. His view of letting the Lord in is becoming a religious nut. He's also said that he doesn't want to lose himself or who he is and become somebody nobody wants to be around. He's refused to ask God to forgive him for saying that he knows that he's going to hell and that he deserves it. He refused to ask my forgiveness, saying that he would like me to forgive him, but he doesn't expect it. Even after I told him I need him to ask for my forgiveness, he still refused to do it. He tends to do a word dance like I'm sorry for what the things I did, or I don't remember doing that, but if you say I did, I'm sorry. Last week it came out that my husband had lied to me about women being transferred into a squad at work and that he lied about some details of the affair. I got mad and told him to get out. He cried and became extremely upset. He came to me crying, saying that he had prayed, asking the Lord's forgiveness, and that God told him he must ask my forgiveness first. I felt like I was being manipulated. So yesterday, my husband, who's been on the path of figuring out who he is, usually the time I get mad enough to say I'm done, mentions that he thinks he might want to start going to church. I really wasn't quite understanding what he was saying, so I tiptoed around the subject a little. He says that he wasn't sure he wants to go, but he thinks he wants to go and to try to find some peace because of all the turmoil inside of him. He also said he's not sure if he wants to go because he doesn't want to be selfish in regards to me and the kids. So, I'm not exactly sure what to do here. My instinct says to be very still and quiet and to let him come to his own decision, taking the chance that he may never decide. He tends to sit in the middle of the road, and I finally make the decision. I want to pack up the family and get us into church ASAP, saying the kids and I are going to church, you can come if you want, isn't really an option because he would go whether he wanted to or not. So do I follow instincts and wait for him to figure this out or push him to go? So in this particular situation, I guess that was a little introduction. You know, my first thought is you need to do what you need to do regardless of what he does. And I know that you're trying to figure out where his heart is. I get that. At the same time, one of the concerns that I would have in a situation like this, and just a second. Okay. One of the concerns that I would have in a situation like this, you don't want to be overly focused on, unless your decisions be determined so much by what he needs to do as to what you need to do. Your focus needs to be where your focus needs to be. I think that if you set your path, he needs to decide what his path is going to be, and I wouldn't even necessarily invite him to come. I would just say we're going to church. And then what he does with that is what he does. I mean, if he's really interested and he asks questions and he wants to learn more, then maybe you can point him to a certain direction. I don't know if he's done 911 marriage or anything, and or even come to EMS, but that might be something that would still be useful for somebody like this. It'd be neat if he could talk to somebody that might be able to help him understand a little bit, too, just kind of some of his questions about it. It sounds like it might be a little difficult for him to hear it from you. I don't know if there's anybody like that in his life that could talk to him, but certainly would hope that, you know, you'd be able to find somebody like that. Do what you need to do, and then we'll see. I think that you'll know clearly what path you need to take over time if you start just kind of following where you're being led, and we'll see where the rest of it goes. So let's look at the next one here. Hang on just a second. As I apologize for the banging here, I'm trying to clear this thing up. Let's see. The Wailing Wall. I'm 19 months out from D-Day. Nothing has been disclosed by free will. What wasn't found out by accident was gradually, over 1 year, leaked out and confronted about mismatching lies. If I don't communicate, I get silence about what is being dealt with. We've gone to three different counselors and done 911, after which I found out he was still lying. I'm finished with HH. It was great. Thank you. He rather wants me to be to lie like everything is okay and ignore when I'm feeling bad and have an honest talk about what has happened or is going on. However, he's very happy and endlessly grateful to have me at his wailing wall. I don't want to build my marriage on lies anymore. In my last attempt to honestly share with him why I felt so sad and lonely in our marriage and couldn't do this pretend normal anymore, I got this response. If you're going to ruin our family because I don't tell you the truth about what's happened, you're going to ruin our family because I don't tell you the truth about what's happened. We got into a huge fight, which as usual, and with him sharing his hurt and his needs, and me left with my unanswered doubts and questions, not detailed questions. I'm too hopeless to try and approach him one more time. I feel like it's the end of the road. How would you describe this situation? You know, it seems to me when you talk about a situation like this, I don't know what he's done in terms of just getting help, but this man just, he doesn't, you know, obviously he doesn't get it if he's not able to just be honest. I mean, it's funny how much I think pride and our image management and our thinking we know best, I think really messes with us. And I don't know why he won't let go of information and, you know, what that fear is. I just feel like that there's got to be, he's got to figure out the individually kind of what is blocking him, and because I don't have the answer to that. The other thing I would want to know, and I'm so sorry you're at the wailing wall, but if you're still stuck around trying to define ultimately what was there, I don't know that time is going to get you unstuck at this point. Somehow you've got to be able to talk your way through it. And if there's anybody who can talk to him, just helping him understand or helping the two of you be able to really clarify what's there through full disclosure, maybe something that could be done would be,
just think, what would work here?
I mean, I understand your despair and why you want to give up. I know that it sounds like, from what you're saying here at that last part, that maybe he's grieved. I don't know what it feels like, you know, it's kind of happening here. He's just not quite there yet, from what I understand. And I will do my best in the long run here. He's the type of person we really want to have in that unfaithful course, and it's actually, we're starting to do that, so hopefully something's going to be available for him very shortly. I would just hope that maybe if he took that, it would kind of help him understand just the need, and it gives a process for doing full disclosure. So if you'll follow that, maybe that could finally happen. I'll be praying for you on that, and that's a tough one. How do you know if the unfaithful spouse is really broken down and ready to accept what they have done and that they have told you the truth about everything so that you can move on? I've told them that I need to know everything to reconcile our marriage. He recently admitted after a year from discovery that it was much more emotional and entangled affair but not sexual, that he had seen her longer than he had originally admitted, and that he did not end until I found solid evidence in the phone records. He said he's still saying that he was unhappy and felt neglected and was so deep in his drug addiction, and that's why this happened, how to move on, and when do I just work on the marriage and accept that he's told, what he's told me after all this time, 12 months of holding back on the lies that he's still seeing, so hesitant to give up this week. I want this marriage, but I'm really scared by all this. And of course you'd be scared by all this, and if the other part at 1 year, which is a very difficult time to be in the whole process anyway. As I look at this particular one, you know, apparently he's pretty scared. When I see somebody, though, that's doing what you just described, which is after a season of time beginning to be more honest about it, I would say that that's actually a good sign in the sense that he must be feeling something or something must be shifting if he shared what he shared. So I look at that sort of thing actually as progress. Again, you know, there, you probably can see his heart. And I sometimes suggest, you know, where is he at? Is he cold? Is he distant? Is he concerned about what's happening to you? Does he have the ability to be empathetic? Does it feel like he wants the marriage? Is he taking responsibility for getting better? I mean, I think there are several things you begin to look for. If you don't see, you know, him kind of changing direction, then there's a problem. I mean, I heard someone say once, and I thought it was really good, that if you don't change direction, you'll always end up where you're headed. And if you don't see him kind of taking a different path, trying to do something different in life, he'll end up where he was going in the first place. Nothing will change. And I think that's probably, even for the previous person or the first person, you know, is that particular man, not the last one, but the very first one, is he changing direction? Is he... he's talking about he wants to do something different, like go to church, okay? Is he going to do it, or is he just going to talk about it? And if you see the actions, then, yeah, maybe someone's beginning to change direction. Do they stay the course? I don't know. That time only tells. I just know that you can still be 100 miles down the road and 10 feet from the ditch, but if somebody's still trying to be on the road, you know, I'm not so much worried about where they struggle. I'm worried about the direction they're going. And so hopefully, again, you can see their hearts and that will, you can see his heart and you can know that, again, if he's telling you stuff now,
But he didn't tell you back then. Typically, that's a sign that they're moving forward, not a sign that they're going backwards. But I do know it's very scary when it happens. Top articles. I was reading four top articles you put on the site. 20 Mistakes of the Unfaithful, The Hurt, Getting Started Guide, The Problem with Forgiveness. They're great and provide sharp focus on the issues. Bless you for all your wisdom. I was wondering, do you have anything similar, about the problem with being unrepentant? No, but I bet you I could write that one. So the problem with being unrepentant. One of the things that you could do for me, and why don't you email Aaron on this, or email info. What are some of the points you want me to address in that particular article? I'll get it for you. I'd love to address it. I'm actually writing one that hopefully comes out. It's going to be a series, and it's kind of the problem with pain. What do you do with the pain? Because I was noticing on the forum before last just the intense pain that people were going through, and just I wanted to offer some suggestions of what do you do when the pain is so bad. So please send that in. I'd love to write something on that. 12-step groups. My mentor advised that I ask you about celebrate recovery versus NA, SA, AA, CODA for my partner's recovery in my own. She's concerned that celebrate recovery is not the right support group for my partner and that he needs to go to NA, AA, SA. What about me? I was looking into celebrate recovery and CODA. I really like celebrate recovery, and I think if you talk to your mentor, too, one of the interesting things about all of those, it has a little to do, I think, with the group you're in. I think some groups probably function much better than other groups. I've seen some CR groups that I think are amazing. I've also seen some AA groups that I think are amazing, CODA. I think that you know, depending on where a person is coming from, the disadvantage of, like, even SA, I think, just my personal opinion, over AA, even though I think a lot of guys need to be at SA or SAA or NA, is that in AA or NA, you get people who are really afraid that if they don't do something, you know, they're going to die. And I really like desperate, and when you've got a CR group, and it depends on the CR group, it's very, you've got people that are just understanding, if they're not doing this, they're afraid they're gonna lose everything, and they're just, I mean, it's a life and death issue for them. When you have that level of desperate, it really helps to kind of recalibrate your heart and your mind. You begin to understand that, you know, if you don't learn to look at the world more through a contemplative mind, if you don't learn to see things differently, that, you know, if you go back to the old way of thinking, it's going to totally destroy you. Wherever you go, you just want people who understand that, who extend grace. And so, again, my thought is that sometimes with NA and SA, to answer that, you probably get a little more sense of desperate. NA or AA, not SA. But I've also seen it in some CR groups. So to me, I think it's hard to make a blanket statement. But whoever does it needs to understand it's about a new life. It's not just about it's learning to live a new way. And if the people in the group aren't about totally changing direction and how they live life, then I don't know that any of them would be a good group. So just make sure you've got people in there who are serious about life itself and changing. My partner wrote many emails to his best friend telling him that he married me out of guilt and had always wanted the affair partner. His best friend didn't know he was having an affair with this woman. I asked him what was the point of telling him these lies since he says he didn't mean what he said. He said he had always been a victim and wanted his friend to feel sorry for him. Could this be true? Or could he really have felt this way about me when he loved those hurtful words for his best friend? He swears he never wanted to leave me and always loved me, even if he didn't show it, and told his fair partner he wanted to leave and told her he loved her. Well, obviously, if he wanted to leave, he could have. And could it be true, I think, was the question in this one. Absolutely. I mean, people say all kinds of crazy things to get sympathy, support. Again, without talking to him directly, I don't quite know what that was all about. That is a possibility that he could have done that. But I can certainly understand the confusion that could be created as a result of someone saying something like that. My affair partner, let's see, my partner is trying to understand his rituals and triggers for when he went out of town. Can you explain ritual more? I don't understand what triggered him to see her when he traveled to his home country. Besides that his mother was there and she's the root of his shame, feelings of unworthiness. Will he figure that out? If it's necessary, I mean, my prayer for people is always that we figure out ultimately what we need to figure out in order to finally come to a place where we can heal and where we see what we need to see ultimately to, I think, come to God. Now, in that, rituals basically are patterns of behaviors that people have. They're what I call the doorway behaviors. So sometimes a ritual, or we also call those lapse behaviors in 911, can be a behavior where I fantasize, where I look at pictures, I check Facebook, somebody else's Facebook, I go back and read old emails. There's any number of types of rituals that people do that are associated with old acting out behaviors. You want to be able to eliminate all those rituals, such as looking at their Facebook or checking on them or allowing yourself to think about them without kind of beginning a thought challenge. And, you know, I think a lot of times people, when they go home, especially if they're like from a foreign country, at times will kind of slip into an old way of acting. And that's kind of a piece where they've yet to kind of maybe own their own life. So there's things that they have to ultimately work out. What triggered him, you know, obviously going back home for someone who's, if I were to go back to a city where I had an affair partner or a country where I had an affair partner, ultimately that would be a huge trigger because it puts you in a high-risk situation. And once you're in that high-risk situation, if there's not a specific plan, that's when you'll get into trouble. My husband claims that even though he treated me with contempt and apathy while having the affair, that he still wanted to be with me. He says it was guilt and shame that made him pull away. How does that sound to you? I believe he was trying to find anything about me wrong so he could justify his behavior. And if you remember in week two, in the 911 marriage course, we talk about that, that ultimately people, when they feel guilty about what they've done, will begin to push away that guilt by blaming others. And because that's otherwise, again, they have to experience that guilt. So if there's a good rationalization such as, I didn't really care about you, you know, you're just mean, you're just this, whatever the way they rewrite it, that's how they push away that guilt. And that's really common. Like I say, it was the very first defense mechanism that I'm aware of. It's the one that Adam used with Eve, you know, this woman you gave me, she made me do it. So we always want to have someone else to blame so we don't have to accept that responsibility. Have you ever had a client say that lust, sexual arousal, and adrenaline rush was not a pleasurable feeling? Absolutely. I've got people all the time that when they feel sexual arousal, immediately go into deep shame. And again, not, it's hard to speak about a particular situation but without talking to the person and having the background, but frequently I'll have people who have been sexually abused. And so anytime they begin to feel any sort of sexual arousal because of that abuse, then they immediately move into deep shame. And so, yeah, that adrenaline rush, that being in that whole situation would be, can be absolutely horrible for them. It depends, again, a great deal on kind of ultimately what may have happened in a person's background, but that's possible. Okay, I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. What are some ways I can reprogram my mind to be more intimate while making love with my husband? I often replay scenes that he must have had with his affair partner, and I don't like it. I want to let go and be totally present, but I've never been able to do that before. How will I know if I'm making progress? Why does this happen to children who grow up with parents that have addictions? My father, the alcoholic, was emotionally incestuous with me, and I've also suffered spiritual abuse. I thought I had a good family. I love my parents, and it's disturbing to see the destructive impact it's had on my life. I don't feel like I'm a victim, and I feel disloyal. Okay, so I think that a lot of times, and I'm glad to hear you don't feel like a victim, and nor do I think, I mean, we've all got to be able to take responsibility for the areas in life that, I guess, for our own life. I mean, what that can do is create wounds in us, and all of us have wounds. As I say, you know, it's pain that's not transformed will be transmitted. And frequently, when we have alcoholic parents, addicted parents, what ultimately happens is that they weren't able to kind of address the problems they've had. And so that pain was transmitted. I don't think it's what they meant to do. I just think ultimately it's something that happened. That doesn't make them bad people, but I do know it leaves you with a wound. If you're talking about how can you be more intimate as a wife, first off, I want to say patience. And it really begins with kind of baby steps. And there's some, I think I would do a lot of reading about intimacy and desire disorders. I think that would probably be a really good way to go. I think that if you can, in the Married for Life course, there's some really good material that John, and I throw a little bit in there, works on with intimacy disorders. If you can work with a certified sex therapist, they also could probably give you some very good advice in terms of ways of building the intimacy in your marital relationship. So Kevin Lehman's book, Sheet Music, is a good book on that. I really do like Pinner and Pinner's book. A lot of times I'll have couples do Restoring the Pleasure. I've mentioned that one before. I know in Pinner and Pinner's book, Restoring the Pleasure, they have some information about intimacy disorders, so maybe that would be something else you could do. My husband's affair partner, ex-affair partner, contacted me through email last week and asked me to forgive her for what she had done with my husband. It's been 5 months since discovery. When I made initial contact with her through my husband, their affair ended 6 months ago. Then she was very mocking, sarcastic, and minimized what had happened. I felt relieved when I read her email asking for forgiveness. Ironically, she's now pregnant with her first child. Her affair with my husband continued through my first pregnancy. I was surprised that I was excited to forgive her and not wish her ill will. I felt much better since. Before, I cursed every part of her life and hoped that she would suffer the rest of her life for having an affair with my husband. Brutal, yes, honest, yes. I was afraid I'd carry hate for the rest of my life, which I didn't want in my heart. I thank God for making my heart soft. I was unfaithful to my husband, my first husband, many times. Even with my current husband, I felt like, I forgave myself through forgiving her, because I could see myself in her. She believed my husband when he said he wasn't happy with me and that he loved her and wanted to leave. She was not making excuses for what she did. I could relate to her past and bad decisions like the ones I've made. It feels like the loop is closed and I've had healing and peace to try and move forward with my husband. I couldn't forgive myself for what I did to my first husband until now. It's like God used this situation to heal me from my past. It did make me feel more angry at my partner for manipulating her into being, believing he actually cared for her. I felt sorry for her and disgusted with my husband, but less angry. You know, and I think that it's not uncommon that when it takes a long time for there to be closure in situations like this. And, you know, if you can find some closure with, you know, you just, and you'll see in week seven, so I think you're a 9-1-1 marriage, you'll see in week seven, you really don't want to hang on to the bitterness. Eventually, you know, that the bitterness will just destroy you. So I am happy that you've been able to forgive her. I think that's a good move on your part. So congratulations, and I'm just glad circumstances helps work that out. Now, when you talk about feeling maybe more angry with your mate, typically that happens a little bit simply because a lot of times, just like maybe the unfaithful spouse may blame their mate as a way of kind of pushing away part of their guilt, in the same way, I think sometimes the hurt spouse will maybe push too much of the responsibility off onto the affair partner in order to keep from getting too angry at their mate. And then when they finally are able to let go of the and forgive the affair partner, they may have a bit more balanced view, maybe, not necessarily, but kind of see their mate a bit differently. And some of the emotions that were being kind of transferred over the other person are now back with them that they've got to deal with. But I am glad that you've been able to find some peace with that. That is really good news. So that is the end of our questions for today. I want to thank everybody for joining the call. And I hope that everybody has a very good week. Hang in there, and we'll be talking to you next Monday. This is Rick. It's healing. Bye-bye.